Look here. He slipped and cut himself here. He's hurt and heading for the high up, just like a damn animal.
Bones and Van Eaton inspected the blood trail, not knowing that a mountain lion's unguarded deer carcass had contributed all of it.
You mighty right about that. He's hurt bad, too. Look at all that blood. Come on, boys. We got him.
Superb!
The blood trail goes right up this grade. I don't know how bad he's hurt, but he's leaking some.
High above him, Preacher put his back against the rock wall behind him and both feet against a huge boulder. The men grew closer, and Preacher smiled.
Bye-bye, boys.
He braced against the boulder and shoved.
Rock slide! Run!
But there was no place to run. This high up, only a few scrub trees grew in their weird, twisted shapes. They offer no protection against the tons of rocks coming down the grade at avalanche speed. Bones ran to one side and Van Eaton ran right beside him. He got clear of the major slide, but both were pelted with fist-sized rocks and both were bloodied and bruised. Lige Watson lost his footing as a rock slammed into his head and sent him sprawling, but it knocked him safely out of the major portion of the slide, at least. It was over. But the dust hung shroud thick in the air. Lige's group had about 20 men left. There was no trace of the others left behind. A man from Maryland staggered out onto the now barren slope and stood dumbly for a moment. He slid down the grade, a big hole right in the center of his back.
That dirty son, he ain't giving us time to tend the dead and wounded.
Shut the fuck up, Wieners!
Delaware man dropped like a stone. Bones Van Eaton and his men, and the dusty and now grime-faced nobility, knew better than to try to move. They had all witnessed Preacher's precision with a gun, and they knew that as long as it remained daylight, to move was to die.
Everyone stay down!
I can't take no more of this. Spencer was kin of mine. I seen him rock knock his brains out! Damn you, Preacher! I'll kill you! Preacher! Ah!
This is the way it's gonna be, boys. I know these mountains and you don't. I know every stream, every creek, every valley, every box canyon, and every cave. I could have killed y'all 100 times over, but I was hoping you'd come to your goddamn senses and clear on out and leave me be. Now what's it gonna be?
I'm through, Peter. You let me go and I'll never come back!
Go on then!
Nelson!
Let him go. More money for us when the end comes.
If we're alive when the end comes.
You and me got no choice in the matter. This is personal with Preacher now.
This ain't worth no $5 a day. I'm heading out with Nelson.
Fine!
I've had it too! You heard me, Preacher? I'm hauling my ass back to New York State!
Get gone, man!
I'll see you in hell, Preacher! But I don't want no more of this!
Tell your mommy hello and stay close by her side. I expect she'll be glad to see her wandering boy come home.
You mighty right about that!
Anyone else?
No one else chose to leave. Preacher knew that these staying behind were the hard cases. There would be no give in them and no quitting. They were in this until the end. Lige slowly counted his men. Near as he could figure it, counting himself, out of the original bunch, 16 were all that was left. He shook his head.
I wouldn't have believed it possible. It just isn't reasonable that one man could do this much damage.
I will admit it is somewhat incredible, but this just makes it all the more exciting. Egad, what a formidable foe we face!
Idiot. I wish to God I'd never got mixed up with this pack of assholes.
Oh, you wanna quit, Van?
Shit, we can't, Bones. Darkhand is sure to have told Preacher that you and me was in the bunch that tortured that kid. We got to see this thing through, or else we'll be looking over our shoulders to the end of time.
Go on home, boys. If you say it's over, it's over. I mean that. He's been too much killing. Let's just stop it right now.
He's lying!
No, I ain't neither. I ain't never knowingly broke my word. Leave and don't come back and we'll call this even. You got my word on that.
The Hospital of the Missionaries is safe ground for us all. Any there is safe. You agree?
Does that include me?
Tell him yes, and when he makes his appearance, we'll kill him.
I agree to that.
No! What the hell is wrong with you? First you want to dishonor the white flag, and now this?
I agree. The camp of the missionaries must be declared neutral ground.
All right, preacher. You got a deal.
Let me hear the gentry say that. I want their word. They claim their word is damn near holy, so let me see if they got the class to keep it.
How?
My word? Yes!
Don't have my word!
All right, then. Pick up your wounded and tote them out of here. As long as you don't make no funny moves, I'll hold my fire.
The manhunters cautiously left their hiding places and began seeing to the wounded. It took most of the afternoon to carry the bone-shattered men down the slope to the valley and get them in the saddle or on quickly made travois. Before the first wounded were on their long and painful way to the hospital, the preacher rode into the neat little camp of the missionaries. They had rigged up several lean-tos as shelter for the wounded. The preacher shook his head and dismounted, heading for the fire in the coffee pot.
Them rickety-looking things ain't near about gonna be enough, but I don't care if you lay them out on the ground for the varmints to chew on. Just remember now, y'all agreed to this scheme.
We are sworn to serve our fellow man. We follow the teachings of the Bible. Sometimes it is with an effort, and sometimes we fail, for we are mere mortals, and therefore shall never attain perfection. But it is our duty.
Preacher poured himself a cup of coffee and settled on the ground, finally getting a chance to relax.
That's mighty noble of y'all. Does my heart good to know these people like y'all in the world. But it's all right. I'll just lay right here and watch y'all do this good work.
Hannah, they come!
As the wounded men rode slowly closer, some being dragged on travois, the missionaries stared at Preacher in disbelief.
You? One man? Did all that?
Mm-hmm.
And a heap more that's coming up behind this first sorry-looking bunch. And there's a goodly number of others all dead and buried under tons of rocks and dirt.
Oh, good Lord in heaven!
The first batch of wounded rode in and reined up. They stared at Preacher in wonderment and ill-disguised hate and hostility.
Howdy, boys. Look like y'all run into some trouble. My goodness gracious, what happened to y'all? Did you tangle with a whole passel of grizzly bears or get in the way of a buffalo stampede?
Van Eaton dismounted slowly, clearly in pain. He limped back to the travois behind his horse as he glared at the preacher. Otto walked over to help with the wounded man.
Very funny.
What's the matter with your head, Van Eaton? How'd you get all them bumps on your noggin?
Van Eaton reached for the pistol in his belt. A hard hand clamped down on his wrist and squeezed. Van Eaton thought for a second his wrist was going to be crushed. He looked into the broad peasant face of Otto Steiner.
This is neutral ground, friend. But don't cause me to lose my temper. Back before I found Christ, four men came out of the darkness one night to rob me. I broke the back of one, the neck of another, and smashed the brains out of the other two. I do not joke. I do not have much of a sense of humor.
Yeah, right. Neutral ground. I give you my word. And I'll shoot any man who violates it. Now let me go.
Have some coffee, Van Eaton. Supper will be on in a few minutes. You best partake. It might be your last one.
The missionaries helped the wounded men into the temporary shelters and set to work patching up their cuts and breaks.
You know, I got to hand it to you good folks. You sure do a bang-up job when it comes to fixing hurts.
We have all had medical training.
It seemed prudent.
Is that so? Prudence?
Prudence rolled her eyes at the old joke. Van Eaton and Lige glared at Preacher.
Laugh it up, Preacher. This isn't gonna go well for you.
Come on, Lige. Let's get the ones who ain't so bad off and head back to camp.
Preacher kept his expression pleasant, and Lige and Van Eaton and a handful of the walking not-so-wounded mounted up and rode off. The preacher finally took his hand off the rifle he'd been cradling in his lap and sipped his coffee. He became conscious of eyes on him and looked up. Patience was staring at him.
You think I enjoy all this killing, don't you?
Frankly, yes, I do.
Well, you're wrong, Missy, because I sure don't. I done given them old boys out yonder a dozen chances to back off and let me be. They could ride out of here tonight and I'd not give them another thought. Hell, Missy, I gave them all another chance to leave today, up on the slide.
A few of the wounded exchanged glances with each other. One shrugged, another nodded.
He ain't lying about that, ma'am. He done it.
More than once. And I sure wish I took his invite. I tell you this, Preacher. When I can ride, you've seen the last of me.
Not me. I aim to kill you, mountain man. I'm gonna track you down and skin you alive. I'm gonna cut off your head, pickle it, tote it back east to claim my reward.
Why?
That's Ed Crow, ma'am. He's a murderer, a rapist, and a brigand through and through. But he claims to have repented his evil ways. Now he's a bona fide manhunter working with Bones and Van Eaton, two of the sorriest men on the face of the earth.
God damn you to hell, Preacher! You ass-licking bastard!
If you do not stop that filthy language, I will gag you. If that does not stop your vulgar mouth, I just might rip your tongue out with my bare hands.
Otto! Please, do remember who we are and what we represent.
Be still. There is a time and place for all things, including violence.
Ed Crow must have believed the big man, because he damn sure shut his mouth.
I guess I've misjudged you, Preacher. I apologize for that.
Yeah, well, I just wanted you to know that I ain't no heartless savage, Missy. And that I really didn't want all this killing, and I did try to stop it. I best be going. Bones and Lige and the gentry and the rest of that pack of no-counts will be gunning for me at first light. I don't want no shooting around this camp.
Before Patience could form a reply, Preacher stood, tipped his hat, and vanished into the fallen night. Bones and his bunch had pulled themselves into a tight little camp right next to a fast-running spring-fed stream, and there they stayed. They posted guards and stayed alert and were changed often. Each day, under a white flag, an unarmed man would ride to the camp of the missionaries to check out on the wounded and then ride back. Other than that, they didn't leave camp. Preacher had no way of knowing what they were planning, only that it would probably be better than any previous plan. So far, everything they'd tried had failed miserably. For now, all he could do was wait, watch, and see. Preacher was determined that he would not start the next round of gunfire. He had even given some thought to just picking up and moving on, but he knew the manhunters would just come after him, and after they did, God only knew what they would do to the missionaries. The Preacher had him a pretty good idea what they'd do to the women. Preacher hadn't been back to the missionaries' camp and makeshift hospital. He felt that would be just too dangerous for those good folks. On the fifth day of inaction, Preacher got lucky. Just as dusk was spreading its first shadows all over the valley floor, Preacher sat in the brush on a slope, viewing the scene below him through his spyglass. About a quarter of a mile from the camp of the manhunters, he saw a covey of birds suddenly shoot up into the air.
Now what's that all about?
Preacher shifted his spyglass and studied the area in question, but he could see nothing. Then he spotted a very slight movement in the tall grass. After studying the area for a moment, he collapsed the pirate's glass and smiled.
Bones, you got more sense than I gave you credit for having.
He picked up his rifle and moved out. Preacher thought it was a good thing he'd taken a long nap that afternoon, because it looked like it was shaping up to be a long night. The sky was getting blacker and blacker, and the air was heavy with moisture.
Bad storm coming. Figure I got an hour before the bottom falls out of those clouds. Well, shit. I suppose I can do a little damage in an hour.
Mac Cornet, one of Lige's men, froze like a rock when he felt the cold edge of the bowie knife touch to his throat. Cold sweat sprang out on his skin. A hand pushed him to his knees, the knife never wavering from where it indented his neck.
Y'all just never learn, do you, boy?
Mac trembled, unable to say a word as Preacher shucked out his pistols from his belt and tossed him into the brush.
Are you gonna kill me?
I sure ought to. You would if you was in my moccasins, wouldn't you?
I reckon. Can it a deal?
I don't know. What do you got that I want?
Information.
Is that right? So talk.
Me and Frenchie is on the slope. Cobb is a quarter mile to the south. Pyle is across the valley with Hunter. Flores is closing the box north, and Jake is coming out later tonight to put the lid on to the south.
That's interesting news. What's your name, boy?
Mac Cornray. Please don't kill me, Preacher. I'll get gone if you let me. I swear that on my mother's head.
How you figure on getting your horse away from the camp without being seen?
I can't, but I can slip into the missionary camp and take one of the wounded fella's horses. And I'll do it, too. You bet I will. For God's sake, Preacher, I'm begging for my life.
Preacher removed the razor-sharp knife from Mac's throat, and the man was so relieved he slumped face down on the cool earth. He didn't even look behind him. He didn't want Preacher's ice-cold eyes haunting his dreams for the rest of his life.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm coming to see you, Mama.
Mac, you know what I'll do if I ever see you again?
You kill me.
That's right. Now move and be damn quiet in leaving. You hear me?
Thank you, Preacher.
Mac slipped quietly into the night. The odor of his fear sweat lingered sourly for a few seconds, and then the wind carried it away. Preacher moved out. He would save Frenchie for last, for the man from Louisiana was known to be a bad one to tangle with. Preacher began working his way south. He picked up a good swinging stick on the way.
Psst. Hey, your name Cobb?
Yeah?
Well, howdy, Cobb.
Preacher hit Cobb upside the head with that stick, and the man dropped like a stone into a well. Preacher trussed him up and waited for the man to come out of his addle.
Oh, my dear sweet God.
Shh, 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 shh. How come people like you always call on God or Jesus when you get in a tight fix? You damn sure don't pay no heed to his words till you do.
I'll be good from now on. Dear sweet saints, pray for me.
Shut up. Did your mama whoop you whilst you was growing up?
She beat me some.
Appears to me she didn't beat you enough. What am I gonna do with you, Cobb?
Turn me loose?
So you can run and tell Bones what I'm doing tonight? Not damn likely.
I wouldn't do that.
I think I'll just truss you up real good and let the bears eat you.
Oh, Lord, Lord, please save me from this heathen.
Heathen? Did you just call me a heathen?
Oh, I didn't mean it, Mr. Preacher. I swear I didn't. You got me so bumfuddled and thinking straight.
I tell you what I'm going to do, Cobb. I'm going to test you right good. I want to see if you're a man of your word.
I'm an honorable man, Preacher. You just ask anybody. They'll tell you.
Yeah, oh, I bet they will. I'd bet a penny on it. Cobb, I want you gone from these mountains, and I mean gone and stay gone. I'm tired of all this fuss and bother. You know that ravine that cuts across this valley?
Oh, yes, sir. I know for a fact. Runs all the way across it. Comes within a few hundred yards of the missionary camp. I know it real well. I bet I...
Shut up and listen, Cobb. You're beginning to babble. It's getting on my nerves. I want you to work your way down this slope, get in that ravine, and over to the missionary camp. Then, I want you to take one of them spare horses over yonder and get gone. Now, I unloaded your weapons, so don't you even think about pointing any of them at me.
Oh, I wouldn't. I swear it. You can count on me.
Cobb, listen to me. I don't never want to see you again. You hear me?
Yes, sir. I do. I really do. You ain't never going to see me again. I promise.
That's good. Because if I do, I'm going to strip you buck-ass naked and stake you out over an anthill. Then I'm going to pour honey all over your neck and head and sit back and watch whilst the ants gather and eat out your eyes.
Cobb crapped his pants. Preacher reached over with his knife and sliced the bindings on Cobb's hands and feet.
God damn. Get the hell out of here.
Cobb scurried away. Preacher figured maybe he had missed his calling. He should have been an actor. He was sure convincing tonight. Preacher moved on, angling toward where Mac said Frenchie would be. Sure enough, a man from Louisiana was picking his way through the undergrowth. Preacher was just 5 feet away when his luck ran out, and Frenchie turned around unexpectedly.
That was Mac.
Frenchie grabbed at the pistol behind his belt, but Preacher closed the gap. Cold rain suddenly slicked over the already treacherous footing on the rocky slope. Preacher lost his balance and fell down, dragging Frenchie with him. Two men hit the ground hard, and Preacher landed on top of Frenchie, knocking the wind from him. Preacher slammed a fist against the side of Frenchie's head, knocking him out cold. preacher caught his breath and then quickly trussed the man up. Preacher leaned the man up, his back to a rock. Frenchie came to and opened his mouth to yell. Preacher jammed a handful of dirt into the man's mouth.
You yell, I'll cut your throat. You understand?
Frenchie believed him. Wide-eyed, he nodded his head.
What do you want, preacher?
To give you a chance to get gone, Louisiana man.
You're getting soft in your old age.
You really think I am, Frenchie?
No, but you won't kill me while I'm tied like this.
Preacher hesitated. That was a fact, but he wondered how Frenchie knew that about him.
Maybe, but maybe I could knock you silly, tote you up in the mountain, strip you down to the buff, wedge you up under a runoff, and then let the weather do the rest. And I'll do that, boy. Don't you doubt it for a second.
All right, Preacher. You cut me loose, and I'm gone.
Preacher freed the man's wrists and stepped back.
Frenchie, don't even think about making no funny moves or going back on your word. This is going to be the last chance you get, and I mean that, boy. When I get done with this night's work, I aim to visit Bones Camp in the morning. If they ain't packed up and pulled out by noon, the killing starts.
You put Mac and Cobb on the run, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
They was both pussies. I didn't figure they'd last this long. You won't put no more on the run, Preacher. You best know that now.
Then they're fools, Frenchie. Don't you be one.
No, I ain't no fool, Preacher. I just don't like you.
Well, that's your option, boy. But it ain't worth dying for. You best take heed to these words. I'm giving you a chance to go on back to Louisiana. Take it, Frenchie. I've been there. The women is pretty, the wine is sweet, and the food is the best there is. Hell, Frenchie, you don't even know me, and I'm offering you your life. Think about it.
Yeah, what you say is true, Preacher.
Frenchie stood up slowly, a strange smile on his lips. He faced Preacher. He didn't say a word as his hand flashed for his knife. Preacher's right hand clamped around Frenchie's wrist just as the blade came free of the scabbard. Preacher twisted and shoved the big bladed knife to the hilt in Frenchie's own belly, just under his rib cage. Frenchie staggered back. He stopped just as lightning flashed and looked down at the handle of his knife. He raised his head and looked into Preacher's eyes.
No man has ever bested me with a blade. No man ever done that.
There's always someone better, Frenchie. You should have had the sense to know that.
Frenchie toppled over. The preacher gathered up his weapons, powder, and shot. He looked down at the dead man and thought about his night's work so far.
Well, I reckon 2 out of 3 ain't all that bad.
Preacher took Frenchie's words to heart about there being no more who would quit, and he called it a night. He began carefully making his way back to his camp where he'd left Thunder and the pack horse, a hidden cave that nature had concealed so well. Preacher doubted that any living being had ever before set foot in the place. In the morning, the storm was a memory. When the missionaries awakened, Preacher was sitting under the canvas over the cooking area, drinking coffee. It gave them a start, but only a slight one, since by now they had accepted that Preacher could move like a ghost.
I hope y'all brought a whole bunch of medical supplies. This here war is fixing to get real nasty.
How did you know they had to awaken, sir?
Well, I heard you open your eyes.
That is ridiculous.
Preacher shrugged and sipped his coffee.
Well, I believe him.
I suppose you left this lovely valley littered with dead and dying men last night.
Just one, and I give him a chance to ride out before I've done the deed. Just like I'm fixing to give the rest of that pack of hyenas out yonder ample warning.
And if they don't heed your warning?
Preacher turned his head and stared at the man. The look in the mountain man's eyes made Frank queasy in the stomach. Without realizing he had even done so, he backed up a couple of steps.
I'm tired of fooling around with these people. I'm tired of being hunted. I'm just, by God, tired of it all. And I ain't gonna put up with it no more. I can't just leave. I do that, you folks will be in for a real bad time of it. And I think you women know what I'm talking about. And it ain't y'all's fault. You just happen to come along at a real bad time. No, I just don't see no other way out of this mess.
There ain't no other way out, Mr. Preacher. And I'd make a bet that you convinced Cobb and Mac to leave last night. If so, that's all that's leaving.
The rest will stay to the last man.
You done some good guessing. I met up with three last night. Frenchie decided to play his hand. His cards run out.
I don't believe you killed Frenchie, Mountain Man. I say you're lying.
When you get on your feet, Ed Crow, you and me is gonna go round and round. So you got that to look forward to.
You don't scare me none.
I'm real glad to hear that. Now shut up. Your whiny voice is grating on me. Ed wanted to say something else. He wanted to pop off real bad. But the look in Preacher's eyes warned him silent. Ed dropped his gaze from Preacher's cold stare and shut up. Patience and prudence set about making breakfast, pan bread and bacon. The Preacher ate in silence until the steady, thoughtful gaze of one of the wounded hunters finally made him look up.
Something on your mind?
You know them fancy gents is all about half nuts, don't you?
Yeah, I figured it.
Crazy as ever I seen. And I seen some crazies in my time.
And both Bones and Lodge has some real crazy folks riding with them. Lucas and his buddy Willie, they're about two boards shy of a straight picket fence, if you know what I mean. But they're dangerous.
They like to kill, you mean?
Yeah.
Preacher slid back his empty plate and nodded gratefully to the missionaries. I appreciate it. I'll see you folks later on. Oh, you best get some bandages ready. You're gonna be needing them. Bones and Van Eaton made the remaining men refortify their camp. The Preacher wasn't about to enter that valley after the manhunters. They were going to have to come to him. A man named Jeff from Lige's bunch found that out the hard way the following afternoon. He decided to go kill him a deer because they were all tired of smoked fish and jerky. He hadn't gotten 500 feet off the valley floor when Preacher's rifle boomed. Jeff tumbled out of the saddle and hit the ground hard. When he opened his eyes, he was in a world of pain and looking up into the cold eyes of Preacher.
Don't leave me here to die alone.
Why not? You come a-hunting me, not the other way around.
I got news.
Then you better talk fast, boy, because you ain't got long.
Oh, them down yonder's gonna take you alive and torture you. When they's had their fun, they're gonna turn you loose naked and hunt you down.
How'd you ever agree to go along with something like that?
Oh, it weren't my idea.
Anything else?
Yeah. Them good-looking women is gonna get used to hard. After they is done with you. Well, pass them around till they get tired of them. Killed a man slow to make him holler.
Them fancy pants foreigners go along with that plan?
Oh, yeah. They looking forward to it.
Jeff closed his eyes and died. Preacher went through the man's pockets and found a handful of gold coins. He kicked a few rocks and leaves over the body and took Jeff's horse. Preacher rode straight into the missionary camp. First thing he noticed was that Ed Crow was gone. There were six men still out of action due to broken bones. Preacher gathered the men and women around him within earshot of the wounded men and laid it on the line for him. He was blunt and left nothing that Jeff said out.
No, by God, they won't. They would have died if it hadn't been for these good folks here. I've done a lot of mean things in my life, but I ain't never put a hand on no good woman or no good gentleman. We've got our guns and ample powder and shot and patches. You go on and don't worry none about these folks. Bones and them will have to kill us to get to you. Right, boys?
Preacher eyeballed each of them, finally concluding that they meant it. Takes a sorry type of man to molest a woman, and these men were several cuts above that. No angels, mind you, but no gutter slime neither. You boys will do.
You'll stay for food, Preacher?
No, Miss Patience. It's too risky for y'all. But I tell you what I'll do to tip the balance some. I'll just wing me 4 or 5 tomorrow, and then they can't do nothing to y'all if some of their own men is here being taken care of by us. How's that sound to you?
Well, that certainly is an idea that none of us would ever have thought of.
Well, good. Tomorrow I'll just go bust some arms and legs and such, and they'll have to bring them here. You make damn sure you got their guns from them and hide them real good. Get ready for some new patients about noon tomorrow. You hear?
Whatever you say, preacher.
Bones and Eaton and what was left of their men sat by the fire, silent and morose. The nobles sat by themselves as usual, but they were also quiet. Bones hoped venomously that they were as miserable and scared as he was.
Hey, fellers! Yoo-hoo!
Now what?
All of you's lower than a snake's belly. You couldn't whoop a bunch of old women, none of you. I never seen such a bunch of yeller-livered cowards in all my born days. Manhunter's my butt. Ain't none of you ever even fought a man till you come up on me. And you're all so scared of me you can't sleep at night. I bested every one of you so many times I'm feeling plumb ashamed of it. I'm gonna go cut me a switch to use on you when I catch you. All of you act like a bunch of kids.
Baron Zonbelker surged to his feet.
Tomorrow you die!
Ah, stick it up your nose! You better leave these mountains, buzzard breath. You best tuck your tail between your legs, run on back to mommy and daddy in the castle, and hide under your bed. That is, if you got enough sense to find a goddamn bed.
Geyser! Geyser! Schweinhund!
Zonbelker was so furious he was just jumping up and down. Zapata and Steinwinder grabbed his arms to keep him from pitching himself into the fire by accident.
Oh, the rich men are stupid and the rich men are crazy. They crap their drawers and sleep with whores. Siblings shouldn't marry.
My God! How dare he!
Hey, Lucas! Hey, Willie! Is it true you're both monkeys escaped from a traveling circus? I bet you two sit around eating fleas off each other.
God damn it!
We's gonna gut you, bastard!
The royalty and some of the other men leapt to their feet and began grabbing up weapons.
No, damn it, it's a trick. Can't you see that? Preacher was tossing insults at us to make us mad. He knows if we get mad, we'll do something stupid. And we can't afford to do nothing stupid.
Hey, Van Eaton! Van Eaton! I hate to tell you this, but Bones likes him the women folk. You don't stand a chance unless you shave and put on something pretty.
You son of a bitch!
Van Eaton surged up from his seat. Bones grabbed him by both arms to keep him from charging out into the darkness barehanded.
No, Van. It's a trick.
That mountain man dies tomorrow. That's it, Bones. He dies tomorrow.
The manhunters left 10 guards at the camp, chosen by drawn lots, and the rest pulled out just after dawn. They were angry to the core. Most of them had tempered their wild anger down to a hot bed of coals. Bones had spread his group out into teams, a good tracker with each team. He alone felt in his gut that Preacher was up to something. He'd asked the trackers if the sign they'd found was too obvious, and to a man they had agreed it was not. Bones still had his doubts. By now, he had reached the conclusion that Preacher really wasn't as good as people said he was. He was better.
I'm going over there to scout.
Prince Juan Zapata pointed toward a rise just at the edge of the valley, before the earth began to swell into mountains. Before Bones could yell for him not to leave the group, the rich, spoiled Spaniard had spurred his mount and gone at a gallop.
Fool.
Juan topped the rise and dismounted to stretch his legs. He looked all around, then bent over to pick a flower to place in his hat. Preacher shot Zapata smack dab in the ass. Because of the distance, the ball had lost much of its power when it busted Zapata's regal butt, but it still had enough zip to embed itself pretty damn deep into his rear end. The other men began moving through the grass to the aid of the prince.
My leg! He shot me in the leg!
Bones glared at Sullivan from where he'd hunkered down behind a tree.
Oh, smart, Preacher. Now I know why you done what you did last night. Fill up the hospital and we have to keep the missionaries alive to treat the wounded. You no good, miserables.
For an ignorant mountain man, as I was told you was, you sure have a head full of smarts.
One of Elijah's men jumped up and made a run for the wounded prince and duke. He came close to making it. Whoa! Bates had a leg knocked out from under him. He did a flip and hit the ground.
Now that had to be a lucky shot.
After 5 minutes or so had passed, Bones crawled to his knees. He sensed, more than knew, that Preacher had done his work and was gone.
All right. Let's gather up the wounded and get them to the gospel shouters.
This sort of knocks our plans in the head, don't it, Bones?
Yeah.
I was looking forward to dallying with some of them women over yonder. I like them with some meat on their bones. That there Hannah heightens up my blood something fierce.
Well, go find a cold creek and jump in it.
Hell, I took a bath last month.
When the dejected and bloody bunch of manhunters reached the site of the makeshift hospital, they were quick to note that not only were the missionary men armed, and armed well, but so were the wounded. Even the women had shotguns strategically placed. Took Bones about 1 second to understand that if they made a try for the women, a lot of men were going to die, because several of the wounded were more than fit to travel. That meant they were staying behind deliberately to act as guards. Bones cut his eyes to Van Eaton. His right-hand man had picked up on it, too. He nodded his head slightly.
I must have medical treatment. I demand it. I am Prince Zapata.
Put him over there. I'll see to his wound.
I demand that you stop smiling at me. I am seriously wounded.
You don't demand anything from me. I never heard of anyone who died from being shot in the butt.
Bones, Van Eaton, and those who helped bring the wounded to the makeshift hospital took their leave and, being careful to stay in the center of the long valley, made their way back to camp, a weary and dejected bunch of manhunters. Nothing worked like they had planned. But over coffee and hot food, the talk was, surprisingly, not a quitting, but of what to do next.
I say we corner him and burn him out.
Corner him? How? Most of the time, we don't even see the old boy at all.
I wish we had some cannons. We could blow him out of the mountains.
No one chose to respond to that, but a few of the men did smile at the ridiculousness of the remark.
I got an idea. Let's do to him like he done to us. Let's insult him and make him mad. Then he'll lose his temper and do something stupid.
It's it to that charade. Whomever told you Preacher was a stupid man was very badly misinformed. He is very intelligent and cunning, which makes this game all the more exciting.
Game? This is a game to you?
But of course.
God almighty! I can't figure none of you all. We got people dead all over these mountains. That Preacher has put lead in nearabouts all of us at one time or the other. He's destroyed our camps, burned our supplies, stampeded our horses, ambushed us, caused rock slides, thrown snakes at us, made fools of us, and he ain't even got nicked one time. And you think it's a game?
It's not a game. If we don't corner Preacher and bring his head back in that there jug, we're all done as bounty hunters. We'll never be able to get another job. News of this will get out. You can just bet that them that quit and headed back east has done told the story to anyone who'll listen. Folks is laughing at us all over the place. I can't have that. I won't tolerate it. I ain't leaving these mountains till Preacher is dead and we got his head. I'll die first.
Bones had finally expressed what had been in the minds of the rest of the men, the constant thought that silently nagged and dug at their pride. One man was making fools of them all. That just wouldn't do. The hunt had to go on.
We gotta leave the valley and take to the mountains. We gotta stop thinking like this was back east and start thinking like a mountain man.
Maybe so. Maybe so. It's worth a try. We'll leave 10 men behind to guard the horses in the camp, and we'll strike out on foot. We'll each take supplies for 3 days and fan out in the mountains. Good thinking, Tatman. Real good thinking.
Come morning, Preacher scanned the wilderness with his spyglass. He was startled to see the manhunters not more than half a mile away coming up from their camp.
What the hell are them idiots doing now? Looks like a bunch of ants scurrying in about down there.
He studied the activity for a moment longer,
and put away his glass and shook his head.
They're coming after me on foot. They done lost what little sense they had left. They're coming right at me in my country on foot. God damn, Lord have mercy.
Preacher picked up his rifle and moved out. One of Elijah's men, Tom Evans, was the first to discover how far out of his class he was. When Tom came slowly swimming out of unconsciousness, he thought for sure he was dead.
Oh, shit.
He might as well have been. He was naked, his pistols had been busted, and his shot and powder were gone. Preacher, and he was certain it had been Preacher, had even taken his boots.
Help! Somebody come and help me! Help! Help me!
About a half a mile away, Homer Moore was waking up.
Oh, damn, my head.
He had a fearsome headache and a big old lump on the side of his head that hurt like the devil when he gingerly fingered it. And he didn't have a stitch on. He looked wildly around him. His weapons were gone, as were his clothes. He was as defenseless as the day he'd been born.
Oh, Lord. Hey, I'm in trouble.
Cliff Wright heard Homer's caterwauling and spun around. Preacher was nose to nose with him.
Evening.
Cliff caught Preacher's rifle butt right under his chin and was out cold before he hit the ground. When Cliff came around, he was hanging upside down from a tree limb by his bare ankles. Like the others, he had been left butt naked, and his weapons had been rendered useless.
Jesus Christ! No! No!
What the hell?
Alarm, Patman charged through the brush. Preacher was waiting. Preacher smashed a man's right knee to pieces with the butt of Homer's rifle. He passed out from the pain. When he awakened, his weapons were gone, and he began crawling for safety, dragging his knee-broken leg. Lige and one of his men, Jeremy King, saw Derby Peel running 50 feet away and followed, thinking he had found Preacher. They was as surprised as hell to see the man at the bottom of the stream cut.
The ignorant fool fell and landed on his rifle. How damn clumsy can you get?
Preacher hurled a fist-sized rock that caught Lige in the center of his forehead and knocked him sprawling to the ground. Jeremy King whirled around, lifting his rifle. Preacher already had his gun up. Preacher's gun gave the others a target. He had dropped to the ground an instant after he fired, and balls came nowhere near. Preacher was soon a good quarter of a mile away, running through the timber. He spotted movement ahead and stopped, bellying down on the ground. He smiled when he recognized Van Eaton and one of Lige's men named Sam Provo. Van Eaton moved just as Preacher squeezed the trigger. The ball slammed into a tree and Van Eaton got a face full of splinters that bloodied him. Panicked, he dropped to the ground, sure he'd been mortally wounded. Sam Provost raised his head up and took the last look of his life. That was enough for Van Eaton. Leaving Sam's body behind, he ran for it. He'd gone about 2,000 yards when he came up on Cliff Wright, dangling bare butt naked from a tree limb. One side of his face was bloody and scratched something awful. Van Eaton stood and stared in disbelief for a moment.
You want to stop that bug-eyed gawking and cut me down and find me something to wear?
What happened to your face? Did Preacher do that?
No! A big bear did! He come by and reared up 2-3 times a-sniffing at me. Like to scare me half out of my wits, let me tell you. And then he reared up on his back legs, reached up and slapped the pee out of me and just wandered off. I hate these mountains. I mean, I really, really hate these mountains. I hate these mountains nearly about as much as I hate that mountain man.
Van Eaton pulled his knife and cut Cliff down. Cliff just lay there for a bit, rubbing the circulation back into his legs while Van scouted around.
All your guns is ruined, and I can't find your clothes. Let's go back and peel the clothes off of Sam. He sure ain't got no more need for them, and his boots will fit you too, Cliff.
Suits me. I'll get his guns too.
The two men backtracked carefully to Sam's corpse, only to find that Preacher had smashed Sam's guns, leaving him useless, and taken his powder and shot.
Shit. Now I see what he's doing. If this keeps up, we'll be throwing rocks at him.
Lige and his dwindling bunch came stumbling through the timber, dragging a barely conscious Derby Peel on a hastily made travois. Lige's head was bloody, and there was a huge knot in the center of his forehead.
What happened to you?
Preacher. He flung a rock at me.
What about Derby?
He fell into a stream cut. His tore up pretty bad. Busted some ribs, I reckon.
Van Eaton finally focused on the red-faced Homer, wearing only a jacket that didn't quite cover his essentials, and a pale-faced Tom wearing only a pair of pants.
Where's your guns?
Busted up? Gone? I don't know. Preacher took all our powder and shot, too.
Help! Somebody come help me! Over here!
Well, there's Tatman.
I hope to hell he's wearing his britches. I've done seen enough men's twigs and berries today to last me a lifetime.
The manhunters dragged their sorry wounded butts back to the Godshouters' camp. The missionaries were amazed that one man could inflict so much damage on so many. But some of the tales they heard from their new brethren helped them not judge Preacher too harshly. They kept their heads down and tended to the wounded.
This is mighty fine venison you cooked up, ma'am. One of your men shot this today, did he?
You might say that.
Huh?
Preacher brought it in about an hour before you gentlemen arrived.
Tom suddenly lost his appetite. Duke Sullivan was tempted to hurl his plate into the fire, but he thought better of it. Prince Juan Zapata laid his plate to one side. Derby Peel shook his bruised head and wished he had just never left home. Tatman, his knees set and immobilized, was the first to admit, albeit only to himself, that the whole bunch of them was outclassed. None of the newly wounded men had any idea that Preacher was less than 100 yards away, watching the scene through very amused eyes. They also didn't see him pick up his rifle and slip away. Back at their own camp, Bones and Van Eaton sat to one side and looked over what was left of their group. It sure was a pitiful sight. Beat up, bloodied, bruised, and embarrassed, the men were silent and sullen this late afternoon. Joe Moss, one of Lige's group, got up from the ground to pour a cup of coffee. On his way to the fire, he paused to speak to Alan James, a man from his home state. Preacher's rifle ball tore out Joe's throat. Topped to the ground, eyes glazed in death. Alan leaped for his rifle and brought it to bear. But there was no target. Only the darkness presented itself. Every man in camp had bellied down on the ground. Every man except Alan. He stood crouched, rifle at the ready. Alan was spun around like a top, shot right between the eyes. He fell across Joe's body. All over the camp, men stayed put under what cover they could find. Nobody got up to carry the dead out. Preacher slipped across the valley, headed back for his own camp. The next morning, Sir Elmore, Baron Zonbelker, Willie Steinwinder, Bones, Van Eaton, and Lige rode over to the camp to see about their friends. They almost went into apoplexy when they saw Preacher lounging comfortably and drinking coffee there.
Howdy, boys. Y'all get a good night's sleep?
Just remember, this is a neutral zone.
We'll honor it, Collins.
You got more than your share of nerve, mountain man.
Yeah, I reckon. But I wanted to show the ladies how much I appreciated them being here, so I picked them a bunch of flowers. Pretty, ain't they?
Preacher pointed to the several bouquets of wildflowers that now brightened the camp. Willie Steinwinder's face became ugly and mottled with rage.
You picked those flowers? Well, they sure didn't leap out of the damn ground and into my hand.
I think y'all ain't being very gentlemanly about this here situation.
What do you mean, sir?
Y'all didn't bring nothing for the ladies, did you? Here I am having to hunt game so the very men who was doing their dead level best trying to kill me will have something to eat. Now, that don't seem real fair to me. Seems like y'all would see fit to contribute something.
The men just stared at Preacher. 1,000 thoughts were running through their heads, but they were speechless. Tatman, over by the other wounded men, looked about to cry.
Kill him for me! Just hammer back and kill that smart aleck for me!
Took their guns, did you, Preacher?
Yeah, seemed like a smart move at the time, uh-huh.
Bones had also noticed that Preacher had a sawed-off shotgun lying across his lap, so he was very careful to keep his hands as far away as he could from his own pistol.
So what now?
Y'all can pull out, and I'll forget about this.
You know can't none of us do that, Preacher, and you know why.
Pride's a terrible thing sometimes, Van Eaton. You really figure it's worth dying for?
When you're in our line of work? Yeah, I do.
Maybe so, but y'all could change your line of work, you know?
My good man, I have a sporting proposition for you.
Yeah, I'll just bet you do. What is it?
Are your mummy and daddy still living?
Yeah, my mummy and my ma and pa are alive.
Could they use $10,000?
You know, I can tell whatever it is you're gonna say is nuts, but go on, get it off your chest.
My proposition is this. As soon as Juan and Sullivan are up to it, we shall put up banknotes worth $10,000. We'll let the good missionaries hold the notes. Then, the 8 of us hunt you in an area that can be worked out. If we kill you, your parents are richer by $10,000. I mean, face facts, man. We're going to kill you eventually. Why not make your parents' lives a bit easier?
No, Mr. Highfalutin Mucky Muck, I think I'm going to pass. But it will take this time to try to get something through your heads. I've tried before, but perhaps this time I can get through to you. You boys ain't going to kill me. I might get bit by a rattler or a rabid skunk. My horse might step in a hole and toss me and break my neck. I may get mauled by a puma, killed by a grizzly. Some Injun might get lucky and do me in. Yeah, all sorts of things can happen to a man out here in the lonesome. But I will tell you all what ain't gonna happen. You boys ain't gonna kill me. And you'd best understand that.
Oh, that's piffle.
No, it ain't piffle, whatever that means. It's pure fact. Now, boys, I mean what I say. This ain't fun and games. Whilst you're in this camp, you're safe. But out yonder, you're fair game to me.
I must say, sir, that there is little distance between you and a fool.
You mighty right about that. I'd figure 5 feet at best.
Preacher awakened in the wee hours of the morning in his cave. No sense of danger awoke him. It was the workings of his mind. Before he'd left the missionaries' camp, Preacher had asked if they had any kind of opiate to knock Tatman and a couple of others out. Otto assured him that they did. They most certainly would do just that. Preacher felt better after that. Otto was not a real trusting man when in the company of brigands and thugs. That man was ox strong, had arms on him about the size of Preacher's thighs. If Otto ever got his hands on a body, it'd be all over except for the burying. And Hannah wasn't no delicate blooming flower herself. Preacher reached out to feel the coffee pot. Coffee was still warm enough to taste good. Without getting out of his blankets, he reached for the cup and poured it about half full. Coffee was just right, black as sin and strong enough to bend nails. Good. Preacher lay back, his saddle for a pillow, and tried to figure out the best thing he could do. If not for the missionaries, he thought he'd just pull out and hold up till winter. But he couldn't do that with the gospel shouters in the valley. Bones and his men would have their way with the women and the men. Preacher didn't want to go through life with that on his conscience. So, he had to see this fight to the end, whether he liked it or not. So, all right. But he thought he knew a way to do it without any more killing, or at least keeping it to a minimum. With that issue settled in his mind, he went back to sleep. At the Manhunter camp, a man fetched water in the coffee pot from the creek. and squatted down in the dim light of pre-dawn over the fire. He lifted the coffee pot to position it over the flame. Heavy caliber rifle ball punctured the pot and tore it from his hand. The entire camp of manhunters came awake and just stayed flat on the ground. Suddenly, a blazing fire arrow arched its way through the air and landed on a pile of dirty, flea-infested blankets. Another fire arrow landed inside the crude corral. Horses smashed through the flimsy barricade. The coffee man leapt to his feet. Preacher cut him down.
Anybody see where he is?
No. Wouldn't make no difference nohow. He moves as soon as he fires.
God damn! He got another coffee pot. There's only two left.
It'll take us a better part of 2 days to round them horses all up.
You uncouth savage! Stand up and fight like a man!
I swear them rich people get dumber and dumber with each passing day.
I challenge you to a duel! Meet me in honorable combat!
Oh, sure he will.
Another fire arrow soared gracefully through the air and landed in the grass behind the camp. Flames began licking their way higher and higher. Bones had ordered the camp built inside a lazy half-circle of the creek, so the flames had but one way to go, straight into the camp.
We gotta put out that fire. It'll burn everything we got if we don't.
Hugh Fuller jumped up to grab a bucket of water. George Winters ran for his saddle and a sleeping bag.
Oh, my leg!
Stay on your belly and toss water or feet blankets on the ground in front of you. Beat it out with your hands if you have to.
Get shovels or use your blades to dig a break.
The smoke was so thick none of the manhunters could see the single odd-shaped arrow arch through the air and land in the middle of the flame. Concussion knocked one man down and stunned several others closest to the explosion. Sir Elmore was only a few feet away from the second explosion, and the explosion rendered him sillier than a happy lunatic for a few moments. Preacher figured he'd done a fair amount of damage and caused enough confusion for one more. He took off at a run, circling the camp and heading in the direction of the running horses. He figured he'd have a good hour before any of the men came after him.
Whoa! Whoa!
He managed to calm down and get hands on 4 of the horses. He led them off up to a trail toward the mountains and turned them loose there. They might return to camp, and they might not. He turned back and hid to watch from a distance as the wounded started out for the already overburdened makeshift hospital. Near as he could figure, both groups combined had about 30 men still able to ride and fight, and that was still too many for Preacher's liking. He suddenly smiled. The deal was no shooting or ambushing whilst the wounded was taken to the hospital. There wasn't nothing said about what might happen on the return trip. He counted the mounted men, 15 of them. They'd only managed to round up about a third of the horses. Preacher worked his way to the valley floor and made himself comfortable beside the flowing creek. Bones had sent riders far ahead of the main group's return, riding on both sides of the creek bank with rifles at the ready. Preacher forded the creek, bellied down in the grass, and snaked his way clear. He smiled as he spotted the returning group. Bones was wising up. He'd split the group into 2 parties, one on the far side of the long valley and the other near the creek.
You're learning, boy, but not fast enough to do you no good.
Preacher counted the men in the returning groups. He knew he'd wounded 3, maybe 4. He counted them again. One named Bobby was missing.
Ooh, getting sneaky, ain't you, Bones?
Preacher stayed right where he was. Preacher could be more Injun than an Injun if he had to, and he figured this is a good time to do just that. He moved only his eyes. It was a few minutes before dusk, but Preacher sensed more than heard the man. He was damn good, but Preacher knew there was no way the man could know where he was. What he had done was take a guess, and it had just proven to be a good one. Bobby came within 20 feet of Preacher. And Bobby was good. He was real good. He moved as quiet as a mouse through a church. He moved so good that Preacher lost him. Couldn't see him, couldn't hear him. Preacher was in trouble. Preacher, warned by a twig snapping, rolled to one side, leaving his rifle behind. Bobby's tomahawk got buried in the dirt. Preacher kicked out, his foot catching Bobby on the knee and staggering him just long enough for Preacher to jump to his moccasin. Bobby immediately jerked a pistol out of his belt, and Preacher's left hand shot out and clamped down on the man's wrist, preventing him from leveling the pistol. Preacher slammed a big right fist again and again into Bobby's face, smashing his nose and pulping his lip. Bobby smashed a fist into Preacher's face, and the blood from both men mingled in their death struggle. Preacher managed to yank out his knife. He drove the blade into Bobby's side and twisted. The manhunter pulled the trigger. Preacher felt a tremendous blow in his side, and he knew he'd been hit. How hard, he didn't know, but he knew it was bad. He jerked out the knife and cut Bobby from belly to backbone. Knowing the shot would bring manhunters at a gallop, Preacher got gone from there. Bones stared at the distinct blood sign and inspected Bobby's pistol.
All right. We lost Bobby, but he got led into Preacher. And judging from the blood, it's a bad wound. And this time, it's real.
Let us proceed at once.
No, not in the dark. Think about it. Preacher gonna be hauled up like a hurt wolf, licking his wounds. A wounded animal is the most dangerous. We go blundering out there now, some of us ain't gonna be returning.
Well, at least with Preacher hurt, we can all get a decent night's sleep.
Preacher was weak when he arrived at his mountain camp. Before leaving the valley floor, he'd grabbed up enough makings for several poultices. Now he set about boiling water. He took off his shirt and inspected as best he could the wounds. And there were two, one in the front and the exit hole. Preacher had several bullet scars on his hide and knew if the wound had been a killing one, he'd have been dead by now. Bullet holes needed tending, the sooner the better. And he was already weak from the loss of blood. He made a broth from some jerky and herbs. While that was simmering, he cleaned out the wounds and applied the hot poultices.
Son of a bitch!
He drank two cups of the broth, and feeling a bit better, he lay back on his blankets to rest. Preacher was a realist, and he knew he was in trouble. He was weak and in no shape for a fight. He'd heal quick, he always did, but he had to stay quiet for several days. As he lay warm by the fire, he reviewed his back trail. He left plenty of sign leaving the scene of the death struggle, but he soon began erasing his tracks. It wouldn't fool no engine, but it might fool those with bones. He had to have several days of rest.